history program can put you in the winner's circle.
Visit ua-rtip.org today.
Why, in the past decade, has BRL Equine become the premier equine supplement company in the industry? Because we spend millions in research and development before we ever put out a product. Because we use only FDA-supervised facilities to manufacture for us. Because what we say is in them is in them. Because they work. Because if you're not happy, I'll give you your money back. And because top trainers and veterinarians in thoroughbred racing, standardbred racing, three-day eventing, and barrel racing all trust in BRL Equine. Shouldn't you? To find out more how Flexify HA, Unlock, Leader Shield, and EPO Equine can help you, contact me, Joseph Vellante, 215-501-6880.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
At the races with Steve Bick.
Enough!
Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
We're back. Graham Motion's going to join us in a little bit as soon as Case raises him. Let me give you, I just got literally seconds ago, I mentioned the statistics from the Beat Bick this weekend, and I tried to pick, I thought, two races that would be fun. I mean, it turned out you ended up with, two logical, more than logical winners, although Moira ended up not being favored, which we'll never figure out at this point. But and Rondor ran okay, I think was, what, fifth, sixth? But that was odd. Saturday, 701 entered, 204 winners that went with Spenderella. And that's a big number. In fact, if I'm not mistaken, that's the biggest number even percentage-wise, yeah, going back to early on, closest would have been, let's see, August 1st. I'd have to go back and look and see. I forget which race that was. Would that be Whitney, maybe? Did we do Whitney? No, Whitney was too obvious, wasn't it? Anyway, 204 winners, and out of 701. And then yesterday, this is interesting, actually. I was worried a little bit of going back up to Woodbine if people would, come along. And you did. 733 entries, 169 winners, which means he came with me, with Moira. So we now are up to, we are now up to 881 entered for the final. And there's 2 weeks left. And I'm just going to check if we're doing three races. It is either four races or potentially five. And I'm checking now with Holly and Michelle Ravencraft. So we'll find out. So there's either a minimum of four, two next week and two Labor Day weekend, maybe a fifth race for you to qualify. And I will get a link soon enough. We'll see if they've gone ahead and given us the leaderboard for those of you that are looking for some points at, you know, some credits at horse players. Top five finishers in Beat Pick. So let's see if that's been updated. Here, yeah, I think it has. No, it hasn't. Mark DeSantis, though, continues to lead with Mark Keenan, our friend Chad Chexnader, Chex Nola, as you know him. And there's a bunch of tied at 400 going into the weekend. So we'll find out as soon as they update the leaderboard for those of you that are going for prizes. Some people just qualified for Beat Pick and are happy they didn't go on with it. All right, so while we wait for Graham, not sure how long that he should be good. Let's pick up the rest, some of the other weekend action, and you know, one of the other potential Philadelphia calls I was going to make today was to Uriah St. Louis. What can you say? It's not a coincidence that he keeps winning like this. Him and Dexter Haddock. As I said on television yesterday, everybody loves, you know, nice fish fry. Typically Haddock. When it's Dexter Haddock, informative, and he wasn't the longest shot on the board. Very frequently, it seems that he gets ignored, but he went off at 14-1 in the Island. I thought that this was a big shot for riding with Biden. Thought it was his Butchie Reed and Frankie Pennington. Thought it was the race went through them. Highly motivated, struck the front. But informative and Haddock, not only did they win, they were widening as they won. So $30.80 winning the Philip Island, the long running Grade Three at Monmouth for the older horses. We should go out to the next time we talk to McPeak, 3-2 winner, Rattle and Roll. The Connect Colt at the Johannesburg Mare for Lucky 7, the Mackens, and he was pretty obvious in here, but you still got to go out and do it. Last seen in the Indiana Derby, where he disappointed. It was disappointing. They had trouble. They ran into trouble there, and had won the American Derby previously at Churchill, and Rattle and Roll wins the $250,000 St. Louis Derby. Let me slip in. We're still looking. Case. Oh, you got Graham. Okay. I would have kept yapping away. We got to talk about Remington. We got to talk about Penn National and more. But Graham Motion is waiting. And so we'll say good morning and congratulations to Graham.
Hey, good morning, Steve.
Good morning. Graham, I've been making, a big hullabaloo about the three-year-old Philly weekend because between Spenderella, Moira, Haughty, and Nest, this was some showcase over about a 30-hour period for three-year-old fillies, and yours is, she's as good a three-year-old filly on the turf seemingly in a while. Congratulations.
Yeah, no, without a doubt, she's a very special filly. I mean, I thought she was, she always looked like she was going the best on Saturday, and this was very impressive doing it.
When you bring her back off of the trip to Royal Ascot and you start to gauge, where you are with her, talk a little bit about that. And, was this, sort of the post Ascot circled target, or does a target emerge when you're satisfied that she's, getting within range of a start?
No, this was always kind of the idea. When I, I usually speak to Alex and obviously Anthony about the strategy with her, and we pretty much had this idea even before we went to Ascot that, if we went to Ascot, this would be our next goal in order to give her plenty of time to get over the trip. I didn't necessarily notice the trip to take a lot out of her. I thought on the day of the race, I thought she was tired. She came back a tired horse that day at Ascot, kind of hot like it can be up here almost. And she was drained. She didn't drink much, which was very unusual. She didn't really drink until she got back to Newmarket that night, which was very unusual. I just thought the race probably took a lot out of her, even though she didn't necessarily show that to me in the weeks after the race. But on the day, she was tired.
You then, if you're working toward this, you're going to have to put her on a plane and, get her out there. Then they pull the pills and you end up, seemingly marooned.
Yeah, I was a little worried about that, but I must say I chatted with Tyler on, I guess it was Wednesday or Thursday morning at Saratoga by my barn. And he didn't seem concerned at all. He just had so much confidence in the filly. He didn't think the post was that big a deal. So I think that made me feel more comfortable.
Well, one thing that had to make you feel even more comfortable was watching him pass the stands and without even asking her, find his way to about the 2.5 path.
Yeah, that was great. I mean, we discussed that that's what he would try to do. I mean, my biggest point of our discussion was that I just didn't think she needs to be on the lead. When Tyler had ridden her before, she'd been on the lead or very close to lead in all her starts. When she went to England, I said to William, if she ends up on the lead, that's fine, but I don't think she needs to be on the lead by any means. And there was plenty of speed in the race, as there was on Saturday. So, listen, he gave her a beautiful trip. When they came past the grandstand the first time, I felt really comfortable with where she was and thought she'd be pretty tough from there on.
Yeah, that proved to be the case. she was more than pretty tough. And really, I had Kevin Attard on first to talk about the plate and the way in which Moira blew out her foes. And really, this was very similar. That just march to the lead and really without much encouragement needed. It was impressive.
Yeah, I don't think she could have done it any easier, really.
No.
So, very exciting.
Well, wins off by 4 and change, and she made 6-5 look good, and like a value. Graham, what do you do from here exactly? And, I've always got my standard distance questions as well. This, of course, her longest jaunt, of any trip. She broke her maiden going 1/16. But the way in which she won here at 1/8, the long-term prospects going forward, for the, the various filly and mare turf configurations, it feels like she's very versatile.
Yeah, I think so. But I do think there's a limit to how far she wants to go. I mean, William thought when he rode her in England that 1 mile was perfect for her. And I think probably over there with the undulating tracks, the different configuration, I think probably 1 mile is going to be as much as she wants to do. I think at Del Mar on a firm, flat surface, I don't think 1.8 is any problem. But I think I don't think I'll look to run her much further than she did the other day. And I think as far as the rest of the year goes, the QE2 obviously would be logical, but I wouldn't run her again this year if we did that.
Interesting. And interesting. All right. Well, meanwhile, she's as intimidating and impressive, and basically, you know, regains the, you know, the not that she lost anything, you know, from an aura standpoint. She gained, in fact, that coronation effort, but it resumes her, you know, her domestic portion of her career with real aplomb. Grade one, you mentioned Anthony Beck and Gainsway, and this obviously a valuable, important win for them.
Yeah, and I mean, I can't say enough about Anthony, how, you know, he's really let me get on with the schedule for this filly. Obviously with, you know, with feedback, like I said, from him and Alex, but, you know, no one's really ever told me what to do. We've kind of gone by our own agenda, and it's just worked out really well. That helps so much.
No doubt about it. Well, it was a pretty good weekend overall, Graham, I would guess. The trip to Del Mar and on Friday, talk about winning the CTT TOA.
Yeah, I mean, it was a great weekend. We lost a heartbreaker last night at Woodbine, which was a little tough.
Yeah.
But I was super proud of Sister O'Toole. I love this filly. She is just a hard-knocking, blue-collar, tough racehorse. And I know she's only won, what, three races now? But she's always knocking on the door. She always runs her race unless I put her in a, you know, an uncompromising situation, which, you know, I feel like I ran her quite a lot early on this year. So I was a little concerned about shipping her out to Del Mar. I'm guessing we may not have done it if I hadn't had Spenderella going, but look, it really worked out with kind of an unconventional ride from Umberto. I was a little concerned halfway through the race of where we were going, but she also did it pretty comfortably, I thought.
Give us, you know, I don't think, have we, you and I talked about her at all?
Probably not. I mean, she hasn't won one of these. She's always been knocking on the door, but she's a tough filly to train in the morning. I don't really take her to the track. She trains mostly in the fields at Fair Hill, and we take her to the track just to breathe her, which is odd because in her races she is completely switched off. And I've made a fool of myself with a couple of jockeys telling them or warning them that she's going to be difficult in a race, and she really isn't. If they could see her in the morning, they wouldn't believe it because she's a tough filly.
Well, for those that didn't make the connection, that it got Eclipse's weekend off to a good start. And of course, we had Aaron Wellman in New York on Saturday for Nest. So I know it, you know, it's tough to be overshadowed when you're a team trainer like this, but it's still nice. And of course, it totally fits, you know, totally fits the Eclipse profile. Had that discussion after the CCA Oaks with Aaron Wellman about you know, how important the filly resumes are to the Eclipse approach.
Look, I feel extremely fortunate to be part of it. Aaron's been very loyal to us since, you know, we go back to Animal Kingdom. Actually, when I took the job for Team Valor, it was Aaron and Barry that interviewed me in an office in the back of Churchill somewhere. So it was, you know, we go back a long way. He's been very supportive of us, and I feel very fortunate to be part of the team. I really do.
Now they've got a tremendous operation. You mentioned the Crystal Cliffs narrow beat, and that Fev Royer, little, I mentioned, mild upset, but Crystal, I think, went off favored, little under 2-1, and exciting finish.
Yeah, I mean, maybe a little too exciting. I'm usually pretty pessimistic about better finishes, but I actually thought we were on the right end of it.
Wow.
Well, particularly with Rafa's reaction, and it just seemed, you couldn't really tell the head bob. It really was the fact that his head was going down, her head was going down the wire, and ours was coming back was the difference. So we were just on the wrong end of it, which was a shame, but I was very proud of her. She's another one that I really love, this filly. She's just a tough, hard-knocking, trying filly. great filly to have.
Let's talk about a couple of stakes as well that I think you've won since we last spoke. And early in the – was it, I can't remember. I'm going to talk to Jessica Paquette in a little bit. Was that Colonial – you won a Colonial stake this past week, right? It was Monday.
We did, with King Vega. Yes, that's right. Jessica will straighten you out.
I'm sure she will. I saw her. She was here Saturday at Saratoga, actually.
I heard that. I was surprised.
What'd she tell me? She said something funny. I got a picture of her with Susie Rasher, the Kids to the Cup graduates. But King Vega's performance, here it is, in the Buckland. I have the chart somewhere, but I'm just looking at my buyer sheet that I put out every week. And the Buckland victory. And
what kind of a buyer did he run then?
King got a, let me go back, I scroll backwards, and got 93.
Interesting. Yeah, he's a good horse. I mean, he came to me from Andrew Balding. I felt that he's a little better than probably his results have showed up to now. Maybe my fault for trying to run him too far early on. Angel really seems to have figured him out. He had a tough trip last time at Colonial in the allowance race. I thought he was a little unlucky. And then, you know, Angel gave him a heady ride the other day when, you know, nobody looked like they wanted to go to the lead. And Angel just took the initiative, and he really won pretty impressively.
Yeah, he did. He absolutely did. Was, I think, like maybe the third choice. Was third choice, almost 4-1. And you mentioned Angel Suarez. And the Colonial season, Graham, really has been positive, and now with the prospect for the, you know, for the added dates that are going to keep being added to the schedule, and your positioning at Fair Hill, I mean, this is really kind of a wheelhouse for you.
Yeah, it's the Saratoga of the South.
Yeah, that's fair.
You know, Jill and Allison DeLuca have put together a great setup. It's, you know, I can't say enough about how good they are to work with. Honestly, I've run a little less down there than I thought I would, just because it's been so competitive. And, you know, we have Laurel and Delaware, which are closer to us. So,
sure.
I have a couple of maidens in tonight, and I have a couple of maidens in tomorrow night. But the racing has been very competitive. I think the filly that was second yesterday at Saratoga in the Tiro filly race, she beat me in a maiden race earlier on in the meet. So there have been some super nice horses coming out of these races.
I'm just noticing also a couple of you didn't win every stake over the last few weeks, but Touch on Vergara's second in the Ontario Colleen, and of course True Valor in the Troy here 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, you had to remind me of those. I mean, those were tough beats. Vergara was a little bit like yesterday up at Woodbine, but I was proud of her. And True Valor, what a cool horse this is. I thought he was really game, and I'm going to take him to the Breeders' Cup. I won't run him again.
Wow. All right. So, pencil in True Valor for the Breeders' Cup Turf Sprint. Interesting. A couple of others, too. I don't think we talked since Divine Huntress's win in the Miss Disco. There's been some assorted maiden winners, Even Sparkle Blue going back. I don't remember the last time her name came up, but just looking up and down, Saratoga, Good Measure with the allowance win. You know, yes, by the way, speaking of Saratoga, I thought yesterday, Graham, that you had a look, that positive message. I was kind of excited about betting yesterday, and whenever I bet anybody that wants to go on the lead, going long on the grass, I can't get them home.
You know, that race, I thought, ran pretty quick yesterday, and she was a little too sharp early on. I think it's tough starting these two-year-olds around two turns up here, you know, without a race under their belt. She wants to be a little keen. She was a little riled up in the gate, got away pretty sharp. And, you know, I actually think it probably wasn't as bad an effort as it might look on paper, and I think the filly's going to be okay.
All right, we will wait for next time and feel like positive message is kind of dirtied up. Maybe we'll get the price that we're looking for. You mentioned some starters at Colonial and elsewhere. You're also looking for a maiden win from Hendrickson at Presque Isle today. We run our first horse ever at Presque Isle today in the nightcap, as it happens. Kid Chocolate today. Jerry Brooks is sending saddling for us at Presque.
Oh, good for you. Yeah, Hendrickson was a bit of a puzzle to me. This horse is trained like he's okay. Never got involved at Monmouth in his first start, so I'm hoping two turns should be the key to him.
And then how about these maidens, not just today, but tomorrow too? Furiously, Data Man today, Jalori and Trope on Tuesday.
Yeah, Data Man's a well-bred colt. You know, he's a son of Tappet, so he's a bit of an attitude. He can be a little tricky in the morning. I think two turns is going to help him a lot. I didn't think he ran poorly at Saratoga, but he just needs further. The fillies tomorrow night, I think down the road, they're both going to be okay. But I just thought coming up to Saratoga was going to be a little too tough for them first time.
No, there's nothing wrong with that approach. Speaking of Saratoga, tell us about the Al Shakab Homebred. This is a Super Saver filly that's debuting this week. Asauria, if that's how I'm pronouncing it, if I'm pronouncing it correctly, Jose Ortiz is going to ride out of a Malibu Moonmare.
Yeah, I like this filly. I think down the road she's going to want to go further, but I think she's sharp enough to sprint. I haven't had much luck with Super Savers, but this filly seems like she's okay.
I think that dam, that Eden's Moon, I think was a Baffert piece, if I'm not mistaken. And in fact, that's exactly correct. And was a nice, won the San Clemente, won the Las Virgenes as a 2-year-old, was okay for Kaleem Shah, actually, bred by the Malones at Bridalwood, Eden's Moon. So nice black type mare. And we'll keep an eye coming up. This is on Thursday in the second race. Graham, as always, a pleasure. Clearly, Spenderella, one of the elite 3-year-old fillies of any kind. And we certainly feel like after this weekend, there's a lot of good 3-year-old fillies to continue to be excited about. So continued success.
Thank you, Steve. Thanks for having me.
I appreciate it, Graham Motion. And Graham, we do, if you walk by Siaka's barn, the lower, the second half barn, stall number 7, take a look at the Irish War Cry filly. I told Graham that we had snared an Irish War Cry. So, mentioned that Chris Griffin and all this talk about Philadelphia, so we'll get Chris in here next. Jessica Paquette was on a plane. I'm guessing she actually, I don't know if she went, maybe she went home to Boston and then flying down to Colonial, down to Virginia, or if she left from here. We'll find out anyway. But Jess is going to join us next hour to look at the Colonial action and the Mid-Atlantic pick 4. But we're going to get in the grandstand in here and talk to Chris about this card today, as well as a little bit about tomorrow. Because tomorrow you got as mentioned, you've got the preview, the Pennsylvania Derby preview card with the Catherine Sophia and the Smarty Jones and the Dash. So, Chris Griffin next. Griffin's been, he's been okay. He's been staying put. he hasn't turned up yet of late in all the different far-flung spots. While we wait for Chris, let's keep updating you on everything that went on. And we are certainly excited about this year's Remington season. They had a terrific opening evening. And speaking of horses going off at prices, something of a surprise, rated our superstar at 7-2 as the third choice. The money gravitated to not just Plainsman, but also to Flash of Mischief. I was surprised by, you know, and listen, he's nice. He's nice, the Jerry Namy homebred for Broberg. But, I mean, rated our superstar, tough as nails, his two Remington tries last year, including, you know, winning this race. He's first and second in two Remington efforts. And rated our superstar. Biding the time with Danny Cabrera. And when he came, he swept on by. Yeah. To repeat as your Governor's Cup winner. Flash of Mischief, second after setting the pace from Christian Torres. And Cat Daddy. Cat Daddy, now 7 for Joe Petalino. He'd been off, actually, a little bit. He ran fine. Beaten about 4 at 28-1, 29-1. Nice. So they're underway at Remington Park. And a couple of the other spots, Jalen Clary, Appropriated Funds, the 2-year-old winner that race that ended the pick five, the early pick five. A little bit chalky. Did go off favorite, actually, a little under 5-2. The other maiden, C.R. Trout, with that homebred, the Temple City gelding, our Silver Temple, his second choice. Brent Davidson, with the Will Take Charge, 6-year-old, declined at 3-1. Third choice, late. And then there was that allowance race that Kerry Craddock one for Jim Plemons, the homebred of his. The Algorithms mare, 6-year-old out of the Lily T mare. How great is that? Right? How do you not love seeing Lily T on a pedigree? And how do you not love Chris Griffin? The ubiquitous Chris Griffin joins us from Parks. It's Pennsylvania Day at the races. Good morning.
Good morning, Steve. Going on. Pennsylvania Day at the races, indeed. We come right back off the break, and let's go. 13 races, 7 stakes. Let's get after it.
Well, and at the same time, we also, you know, are not only looking at this, but, of course, we're off the turf. I did have John Service in the last 45 minutes, and he told us that those two stakes were coming off the grass, the Mrs. Penny and the Marshall Jenny. John didn't seem too broke up about it.
Yeah, it's going to help some of the, you know, you take a look at some of the connections, it's going to help them. I mean, some of these races, Admiral Abe is probably the first one that jumps off the page that, you know, you move the turf stakes, and when we move it over to now the main track, he's going to be tough in there. The Critical Way is showing a scratch there, and that's going to be in the eighth race a little bit later on the card. Taking a look at the Marshall Jenny handicap, but, you know, Smooth B has been in pretty good form. You see some hard-knocking veterans like Hollywood Talent making a return, but the Critical Way was going to be a short price. Now moving it to the main track, Admiral Abe, he becomes probably the favorite in here, and he's been doing it very well for quite some time. And Bobby Mosco, you know, so somebody jokingly say, you know, is he doing some rain dances or something? Because, you know, here we go, Admiral Abe again. He catches a wet track, moves to the main track, and he should be pretty tough in there. We'll see how he does. But 5 furlongs, and Bobby Mosco has not been shy about it. He said, you know, this is his distance. It's his premier distance is 5 furlongs, and he can go a little bit longer, but this is right where they want to be as far as that horse. So that ninth race is looking like quite a few scratches in there as well, with, you know, a horse that obviously with her huge debut, you can understand. I mean, Flor de Sombra for Guadalupe Preciado after that that performance now. I'm seeing 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I mean, I'm seeing 6 listed scratches in that race. So the Miss Blue tie-dye for the 2-year-olds, whether they're, you know, kind of trying to get away from the big favorite, who knows. But she's going to be tough in there if it's a shorter field, Florida Sombra. Uptown Amanda, though, I will say, Scott Lake has been really high on her. He said this is a very professional 2-year-old filly. Her number didn't come back too strong off of that debut effort, but she had a lot left. I mean, it was a very easy debut for her. But Florida Sombra is going to be a tough favorite to knock down there in that ninth race and the Miss Blue tie-dye, which are new stakes races, actually, for the PA Breds, because they got to be PA Bred and PA Sired. So that's kind of the little caveat there to get into those 2-year-old races. And also we're going to have those $200,000 stakes races later on when we get into September. So some nice stakes races. Wish we had caught some better weather. I think during the whole 2-week break, I don't think it rained really even more than 10 minutes. And then, of course, last night it just absolutely poured. So that's what happens sometimes. But good to be with you, Steve, and ready to get after it.
The main, I mean, what's the weather like early part of the afternoon? I mean, is the main track going to dry out for racing?
Yeah, so usually it does dry out pretty well. It's listed as muddy right now. We got that call at about probably about half an hour ago, talking about a muddy main track. Still plenty of time. There is a little bit of wind. It's not dry right now. I mean, it's still a little bit humid, so I think you're going to see some moisture early on in the card. I could see it moving up to a good designation as we get into the afternoon. If we do see a little bit more rain, I think it's going to stick right around that good muddy. Whether we get to fast or not, we'll have to see. That might be a little bit of a stretch, just kind of taking a look at the track right now and seeing how that will develop. But there's 13 races, so as we get later on the card, I think we're going to have to see significant sun, and we're just not seeing that. And we got plenty of clouds in the area right now. There might be a passing shower. The weather's weird because it was actually forecasted to really rain all day. I mean, it was around the 80-90% that it was supposed to just rain throughout the day, and it hasn't done that. It just rained overnight, and we saw a good downpour, and now it's pretty dry. So we'll see how that continues to develop, and it's gonna work out well for horses. You know, you talk about John Service. You know, Precious, she's gonna run against Chubwagon, obviously, who really likes an off track, but Precious also likes an off track. So, you know, maybe that brings her a little bit closer to the Pennsylvania bred horse of the year. That's a tough race, that seventh race with Garofalo. It's a 6-furlong race, but when you're talking about Oksana, you're talking about Cinnabunny, you're talking about Hey Mama Luke, Chubwagon, Precious. These are very good Pennsylvania breds that have done good work against open company as well. So nice lineup of races. We'll see how those 2-year-old races kind of pan out. It's an exciting time to get after the 13 races, and then tomorrow we got 13 more as well. So some really nice races on the card, and we'll just see how it all pans out. Hopefully we can catch some prices. If we can catch some prices throughout the card, that's always good for the bettors as well.
Well, we'll go through a couple other spots. Since you brought up the Garofalo, let's expand a little bit. And John was excited about Precious's try in here, turning back from the mile allowance. So you do get the route to sprint, the turn back angle. You mentioned Cinnabunny, 3-1 for Cal Lynch, and I always respect this Golden Lad mare. Hey Mama Luke is 6-1. That might be the right price for Mike and Patty Farrow. And we should mention, I haven't had a chance to reach out to Mike, but came up to New York on Thursday, win with Golden Rocket, a big upset, helped trip the carryover, and congratulations to the Pharaohs for coming to Saratoga and winning.
Yeah, I was watching on TV a lot of the connections here from Pennsylvania, winning some races all over the place. You know, I was taking a little bit of time off during the 2 weeks, but the connections were running. You're right, St. Louis picking up a win with Informative as well over the weekend. So, yeah, it's been a nice time to watch some of the connections and see them back here. That Empress Diona showing a scratch there, the number 7. I'm just kind of seeing some of the scratches now, but she was going to be a pace factor in there. That's going to help Hey Mama Luke, who's got one way to go. It's go right to the front and see how fast and how far she can take them. I'm interested to see what they're going to do with Oksana down towards the inside. It's Paco Lopez for Tim Hills. Finishing third last time, when she's on her game, she's very good. She's 2-for-2 here at Parks. I don't know if I love the rail draw for her. I don't think it's going to be crucial for her to kind of send from the inside because I think she's got that stalking gear. But Chubbwagon seems like she's going to get the perfect trip. I mean, with a far outside draw, she's going to see all the pace to her inside. She has a horse in Precious that's going to drop right to the back and be a deep closer. Cinnabunny, she could kind of get the same type of trip maybe. I don't know. Hey Mama Luke probably ends up being the target. We could see a repeat of the Power by Far Stakes back in June. When you take a look at that race and just the way that Hey Mama Luke was running in that 5-furlong race, she wasn't able to hold off Chubbwagon that day, but she did get well out in front of her, and she gave her a tussle down the stretch, but Chubbwagon was just a little bit more classy and it's just a little bit better that afternoon. Now, it's an extra furlong. Chubbwagon is very good at six. She's good at all distances, but she's in a new barn, so we'll see how that plays as well. A 5-year-old mare by Hey Chubb, that's the Pennsylvania bred horse of the year, and she'll be a favorite, but is she a little bit vulnerable this afternoon? We'll find out against a very tough field in that seventh.
Talk about the eighth. This is the Marshall Jenny, the turf sprint that came off field of nine, and just thumbing through this, Smooth B benefits certainly for Butchie Reed, probably the most accomplished of the off the turfers, I suppose. Admiral Abe, you referenced Bob Mosca. Yeah, so I think that we got covered. How about a couple of thoughts about the 2-year-old races? Because, of course, when you deal with this like we do in New York, when you get the sire aspect, and this was a new, the addition, as we've discussed with Brian Sanfratello, so you do have some first-time starter types like Marion Grace, Eddie Coletti, and the Uptown Charlie Brown group.
Yeah, and when you take a look at that ninth race at 5.5 furlongs, and Marion Grace, we talked to Ed Coletti, and he said she's fast. I mean, you see it in the works as well, that she's a speedy type. She's not a very big filly, which when you see the Uptown Charlie Browns, they do fill out. They do have some size to them. She's not one of them. She's a little bit lighter, a quicker filly, and I think she's going to show that speed. Uptown Amanda, visually, again, down towards the inside, with all the scratches that I'm seeing, the race is going to be set up to where it looks like the 1 and the 7 go after one another, and we'll see what happens. For DeSombra, she's just been kind of as advertised. She faced the boys on her debut. Guadalupe Preciado said he entered her in a Phillies race. The race didn't go, so they wanted to get a race in her, and they put her against the boys. And obviously, she's got some talent. She's been working well. Since that debut run, you see two works, both bullet workouts. She continues to improve. This is a 2-year-old filly that, if she goes out and she does what she's expected to do, she's going to do it at a short price. And then she's going to start looking at possibly, the race on September 24th, as we talked about, the Pennsylvania Bred Stakes, because, it's a $200,000 stakes race where she's probably going to be a very big favorite once again if she comes back. Or maybe she takes a look at some of the races in different regions as well, from a national landscape, and we'll see what happens. I mean, you talk about another 2-year-old filly in Vedero that was impressive over at Monmouth Park as well. So we've got some nice 2-year-olds on the grounds, and we'll see what happens with her. Uptown Amanda, I just don't know what to take from the number last time. The number, it just seems like she's got to make up quite a few lengths on Florida Sombra, but visually she was extremely impressive. So it looks like it's between those two. Marion Grace is kind of the X factor, because I think she's going to show early speed. Maybe she takes it, early to one of the favorites, and maybe she takes it to Florida Sombra. But Florida Sombra gets a very nice stalking trip, it seems like, with most of the speed to her inside. Rod Ortiz Jr., you can't ignore the fact that he's picking up a lot of mounts this afternoon as well. He's going to be riding quite a few for Todd Fletcher. He rides a horse earlier on the card, a Pennsylvania bred that's got some interest owned by Bregman Racing Stable and some of those connections as well earlier on the card, and named Game 7, actually, in race number 5, the 10 horse. So that'll be interesting to watch. And then you start talking about the 2-year-old boys race. Butch Reed, we just talked about him. 90% Maddie was expected to do what he did. Tatum came back and ran pretty well at Saratoga in a maiden race. Keith Santolo, he has been, I think he needs a little bit more ground. He's obviously named for Keith Jones, the former track announcer here at Parks. He's by Uptown Charlie Brown, and he's had the seconds and thirds. He continues to pick up checks. I think he's going to want that, 6.5, 7 furlong to me. I think Ed Coletti was kind of thinking a little bit of the same thing. He's run against some nice horses, but 90% Maddie, the 2-year-old colt by Wygelia, the number 7 there in race 10, he's going to continue to progress and grow into his body, because he is a bigger 2-year-old colt when you take a look at him. he's going to improve with more distance. It seems like he just won his debut on talent, and we'll see if he continues to do that. But you also note that there are some two-year-old first-time starters, Todd Pletcher, Red Ortiz, Lechner, you know, going down towards the inside of two-year-old Cole Bypiece and Justice. Maybe they've got a shot here on debut because you just don't know really what they've got. I thought a Western Yarn is kind of interesting. I need to go back and watch that race again, but finishing behind Jeremy's Jet, they put the blinkers on. Arno Delacour has liked Trevor McCarthy. They've teamed up here and won a stakes race on the turf here at Parks. Trevor McCarthy picking up this mount on the two-year-old colt by Eastwood. This is a horse that does make some sense at 9-2 on the morning line. So the two-year-old boys race, the Whistle Pig, it looks like you could catch a little bit more value if you want to hunt for some of the prices outside of 90% Matty. He'll probably be the favorite. I think he's a deserving favorite, but there's definitely horses that can compete.
Before we talk about the rest of it, the Banjo Picker and the Stormcat, I do want to mention the horse that Marcus Hirsch gave everybody a couple of weeks back at Colonial. Tito's Changed My Luck in the Keswick, and absolutely was a terrific tab that day, and comes in, you know, with what looks like a little softish on number power, but is well within range. And if that was a jumping off point to make another forward move with Barbarossa, you could get lucky with Chucky. Tito's Changed My Luck, and that I wanted to at least mention that nice one that we all got a little healthy with a couple of weeks ago.
Steve, I think on that one the bar is closed because I think she scratched actually out of
the Oh, we hate that. All right, thank you. All right,
all right.
The bar is closed.
Port of Sombra, too tough. I tell you, I'm telling you, too tough.
Hey now.
But yeah, you talk about the Banjo Picker. I mean, later on the card, when you take a look at the 11th, that's another competitive race. I think Baron and For the Love of Bourbon, they've been doing it for a while. Baron continues to be in razor-sharp form since he came back off the layoff. For the Love of Bourbon, I don't think he's ever been better. So this is an exciting race to watch. I mean, these are two very good sprinters. They're both good at this distance. Baron's going to have a tactical advantage this afternoon, though. When they came back in that race in the Paige McKenney back in April, Baron had an inside draw. For the Love of Bourbon was just stalking off of him. It was his first run off of that layoff since November. Baron was very game, but at 7 furlongs, he just came up a little bit short. Now you're going to catch a 6-furlong race where he's going to have a better trip outside of what I think is his main rival in For the Love of Bourbon. I like him quite a bit. This Cat Can Jump, I think, is going to improve a ton off of that last effort, the 9 horse towards the outside. You got to see, yeah, he's still in there. And you look at some of these other horses that are trying to improve, and Final Shot is kind of an interesting one as well. I mean, look, when Rod Ortiz Jr. is showing up on horses here at Parks on this big stakes day, he's going to take some of that attention from a wagering standpoint and just eyeballs taking a look at a big-name jockey that's picking up some really live mounts. So we'll see how that horse runs, but if you like Final Shot, maybe a little bit off the pace, that's actually done very well, 19 starts at the distance with 5 wins. Maybe that's a horse you take a look at as well. But I think Baron is in such good form, and I think you can kind of catch him at a price. I mean, Baron hasn't been favored in his last 4 starts, and he hasn't finished worse than second in any of those starts. So will he be favored today? We'll find out. He's 5-2 on the morning line. I think he'll be a lukewarm favorite if he is favored, and that's just another nice race to take a look at. But I just think Baron gets a little bit better trip. And then the Stormcat, you know, to close things out from a stakes standpoint, that race is extremely tough. Divine Miracle, yeah, might be a top choice, but Spice LeMain Brace is in there, Two Bosses in there, King Kumbalay, who's been excellent for David Duggan, especially here at Parks. That horse has been phenomenal. And then Ruby Blue ended up in a claimer last time, now comes out of the claiming race with 19 career wins over almost $800,000 in earnings, and the 8-year-old is now into the $100,000 stakes race for trainer Miguel Rodriguez. So that's another nice race on the card, and I don't know if you got a chance to talk to John Service about the 13th and final, but when you take a look at that race, Gunfire Gal, she might be one of the more promising 3-year-olds we've got on the ground. So from start to finish, the card is just jam packed with really good stories. Good storylines, some interesting horses. we got a Chub Wagon changing barns and everything else. It's been a nice setup here for a big day of racing. Race 9, yeah, quite a few scratches, but other than that, most of the fields are staying intact as far as I see off the turf, which is a bummer, but that happens. So, we'll just see what happens and hopefully catch some winners and hopefully call some good races, 13 of them.
Well, and all Pennsylvania bred. Well, actually, we'll get a visit in before we wrap up today with Brian Sanfratello as well to celebrate the Pennsylvania breeding program. Tomorrow, Chris, let's just glance ahead at the Derby Cotillion preview card that includes the Dash. Goes as the 10th, 5-11, starts a late pick four, the Parks Dash, the Catherine Sophia, and then the Grade 3 Smarty Jones. And you mentioned the presence of Arad Ortiz and others that are on there either in Philly today or then, adding, I suppose Arad is staying overnight in the area because he's got mounts lined up for the Catherine Sophia. For Todd Pletcher with Green Up, as well as the return of Pioneer of Medina coming out of the Derby, and he gets back to working. This is a really interesting field for the $300,000 Smarty Jones. Chad Brown's got another emergent three-year-old in Golden Alchemist. How about Creative Minister for McPeak, who's got that phalanx of, sort of middle ground three-year-olds. Witty, who I liked at Monmouth in the sprint a couple of weeks back. McLean Hendricks stretching out Witty. Best Actor gets a big chance here out of the Indy Derby. And then there's a whole bunch of 10, 12, 13, 15 to one shot types that are beyond the obvious. A very good Smarty Jones tomorrow.
Yeah, I mean, all three stakes races look pretty good. The Parks Dash, right now the turf rail is at 22 feet. We're not going to be on the turf this afternoon. My assumption is we will get that Parks Dash in on the turf tomorrow, depending on from a weather standpoint what happens throughout the rest of the day. Fingers crossed. But the Critical Way was also cross-entered, so you could see the Critical Way, who scratched out of today's race that was going to be at 5 furlongs on the turf, run tomorrow in the Parks Dash at $200,000. Maybe not the way they drew it up, but maybe it ends up working out for them because he's going to be one of the favorites in there as well. The Catherine Sophia. So you start taking a look at some of these stakes races that are going to be preps for the Bet Parks Pennsylvania Derby and the Cotillion Stakes. Remember that the racing office added that there's a bonus that's involved for owner and trainer, that if you win one of these prep races and then you go on to win the Cotillion or the Bet Parks Pennsylvania Derby, if you can win them both, you get a bonus of $50,000 owner and trainer. So I think you could see some of these horses running right back in the Cotillion or the Bet Parks Pennsylvania Derby, and that's got a lot of intrigue. Interstate Daydream, she's the favorite on the morning line there in race number 11. At a mile and 70 yards in that $150,000 stakes race, she makes a lot of sense in there with a nice field, a field of 9. I think that there's some very interesting horses. You take a look at Butterbean, for example. What did we take from that last effort at Saratoga last time? Stumbled badly at the break. She was bumped. She finished behind Nest, Secret Oath. Obviously, Nest is, at the top of the division for the three-year-old fillies. So if we throw out that race, she continues to fit because she was just under 15-1 as far as the odds were concerned in a grade one in the Coaching Club American Oaks. So I just think that Butterbean, she could have some improvement. Obviously, Ken McPeak sending her, feeling like she fits well. Shotgun Hottie has kind of been a cut below. And Green Up is the most interesting horse in the race for me. I think Morning Matcha, she's a Pennsylvania bred that they're taking another shot with her. She's a closer. She's going to sit at the back of the pack. She's going to try and make that one big run. She does love it here at Park. She's undefeated. But Green Up and Arad Ortiz Jr., maybe you can speak more to it. I mean, the Todd Pletcher, Arad Ortiz connection, this is an improving three-year-old filly. She's really lightly raced, but she's done nothing wrong since the month of March. Whether she can put together these big performances and continue her ascent, I guess we'll find out. She gets the rail draw. She's got some things to deal with. She's got a nice favorite that's going to be right to her outside. The 2 is a deserving favorite in there. We'll just have to see how that race runs. And then you talk about the Smarty Jones. Yeah, it's that one's full of storylines too. I think Witty, they go back to the two turns. We'll see. His two turn try on the turf did not work out. We'll see that. If I think this is going to kind of be the the put up or shut up kind of time. You know, is he going to have the does he have the ability to go around two turns, or is he really going to be, you know, a sprinter and they'll keep him sprinting? Best actor holds a lot of appeal too. It's Brad Cox, it's Florent Giroux. They've teamed up and won many races. They won this race last year with Folsom for Judmont Farms. So I think you could see a horse like that improving and getting the job done. Golden Alchemist only has run twice. Won the maiden. That horse is going to take some action to the inside, as you said. And yeah, Pioneer Medina, coming off of that Kentucky Derby try, hasn't been seen since then. Fletcher does very well with these types, and you get Ortiz once again. So it could be a big 2 days for Fletcher and Ortiz. I guess we'll just find out how the next 2 days progress.
Chris Griffin and the action at Parks today and tomorrow. Pennsylvania Day at the races. All Pennsylvania bred action today with a hat full of stakes, nearly $1 million in purses. And we look forward as well to Tuesday, Pennsylvania Derby Cotillion Preview Day. And we're making arrangements to come and broadcast Friday before Pennsylvania Derby from Parks, which will be a first. And Chris, I appreciate it. I also have to give you a tidbit you can use on the broadcast today.
Uh-oh.
Here you go. Our friend Tom Herman, who we met on the jump circuit, who was one of the bookmakers that would make book at the jump races, Tom informs me of the origin of Whistle Pig.
I'm listening.
It's a slang term for a groundhog, because when you whistle, they pop their head up out of the burrow. And they also make their own little screechy whistle noise. A whistle pig is a groundhog.
Whistle pig is a groundhog. Well, we are in Pennsylvania. It makes a ton of sense.
Right? Well, I mean, we're the opposite end of the state from Punxsutawney, but still, yeah, exactly. I had never heard that. So thanks to Tom Herman, who is invaluable.
I will be adding that to the broadcast somewhere. I have no idea where I can add that. Squeeze that in, but I will be looking for groundhogs throughout the day. But always a pleasure to be on, brother. I appreciate you and Casey and the entire team, and looking forward to the next couple of days and ready to get after it. You take a couple of weeks off. You don't always expect to come back to 13th back-to-back, but I'm excited for it and ready, and we'll get it rolling here at Parks, and hopefully we get some nice weather, get these clouds out of the way.
Chris Griffin, folks, in the grandstand, and he will be in the grandstand for two long afternoons, but he's in, you can tell, he's in sharp vocal form and ready to call 26 races over the next couple of days. Chris, thanks. Good luck. Good luck to everybody playing. We'll actually visit before we get off the air today with Brian Sanfratello as well. Let's take the second break of the morning. We're 2 hours in. We got an hour to go. Rich Migliori has shaken free, and we'll get Mig on. We've got to see about John Dooley and Jessica Paquette as well, because there's lots of action pretty much everywhere for a Monday. This is it's a big Monday, as they say. Back after this, hour three at the races, Sirius XM.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Thoroughbred horse racing is back in Virginia as Colonial Downs conducts its More Racing, More Money summer season presented by Woodford Reserve. An early week racing schedule and average daily purses of six.